grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Luke chapter 17, verses 17 and 18. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Whenever I read the Gospel for this Sunday, there come to mind some words of the 17th century poet and parson George Herbert. The words are these: "Thou that hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart. Thou that hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart." What 9 out of the 10 lepers healed by Jesus lacked, and what that one Samaritan leper had, was just that, a grateful heart. Unbelief takes everything for granted. Faith sees everything as gift. The faithful heart knows, as the Catechism instructs us, that we are worthy of none of the things for which we pray, neither have we deserved them, but God grants them all to us by grace, for we daily sin much and indeed deserve nothing but punishment. The terrible disease of leprosy is a powerful picture of the disruption brought about by our natural disharmony with our nature, or as we usually call it, original sin. Leprosy is a hideous disease, in which the flesh of its victims rots away. Because it is a communicable disease, it was greatly feared, and the law required that lepers live apart from everybody else. Sickness is always, to some degree, an isolating kind of thing, but leprosy was that in spades. A disease cutting people off from one another, just as our native disharmony with our Maker leads to the disharmony of strife, conflict, bitterness, and alienation. To be sure, there was a kind of community among the lepers, but it was, in fact, a community of misery. And so when the Savior healed these lepers of their hideous, disfiguring, mortal illness, he not only gave them back their health, he also gave them back their home. In this, we see a powerful image of the work of our dear Savior. For when he forgives our sins, he not only removes the barrier which cuts us off from God, he also places us in that holy family of all those who through baptism have been made one in him. For since the Lord Jesus in our baptism made us the sons and the daughters of one Father, we are therefore all brothers and sisters of one another, bound together by a bond which death itself cannot destroy. God's final purpose for you and for me, and for all his dear children, is not some lonely soul at one with its Maker, but the communion of all saints in union with the risen Lord. Thou that hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart. The 9 lepers who couldn't be bothered to turn back and give thanks to God lacked that one thing more, a grateful heart. In a word, they took for granted the astonishing goodness of God. And so it has been from the very beginning of the human story. But the sin of our first parents was, in a very real sense, the sin of taking for granted all they'd been given, and then even paradise wasn't enough for them. Well, the story of our first parents isn't only their story. It's also your story and my story. It's most certainly the story of the 9 ungrateful lepers. And that sin of ingratitude is also the source and origin of so many other sins. For when we're ungrateful, discontent, we so easily fall into such sins as envy and jealousy and covetousness and sheer greed. Or perhaps we fall into the sin of despair when Satan so blinds us to God's goodness that all we can see for the time being is that one thing which God has not seen fit to give us. We develop a sense of entitlement. We lose sight of the truth that because we are sinners, we deserve nothing. And therefore, all that we have is pure gift of a merciful Heavenly Father who has not only given us gifts new every morning, but himself best gift of all, in the person of his own dear Son who went through Calvary for us, so that we no longer be lost and lonely souls, but members of that one great family, the Church both in heaven and on earth, heirs of the kingdom with all God's saints in light. You and I are God's sons and daughters by adoption and grace. Jesus is God's son by nature, and his life here on earth, as we see it in the Holy Gospels, was one of unceasing thanks and praise. And just so our lives, as those he's claimed forever as his own, should also be lives of thankfulness and praise. Down through the centuries, the Church's daily worship has echoed with thankfulness and praise. The prayer Dr. Luther gives us to pray, both morning and evening, begins with that same note of gratitude. I thank you, my Heavenly Father. Even on the night when he was betrayed into the hands of those who would bring him to Golgotha, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He took the cup and gave thanks, and in doing so established that holy sacrament, the beating heart of the church's life, which from earliest times has been called the Holy Eucharist, which means the Holy Thanksgiving. For Lord's Day by Lord's Day, festival by festival, even day by day, the church with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven gives thanks for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for God's astonishing love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace, and for the hope of glory. In the words of George Herbert, "Thou that hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen."